Time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come back again someday. If back then Hallelujah. It seemed so real, oh, I just can't. Closer is coming is today.
Oh, yes, now
signs all the time,
they're everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air.
Give the Lord a big hand, have a praise tonight. Amen. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Well, we had a wonderful time here Wednesday night. Brother Joe, you just blessed our heart, buddy. You encouraged us, and how many of you enjoyed the message here Wednesday night? Brother Joe, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate that. Amen. Brother Wes Willis is going to be speaking for us tonight, and I know it's going to be good. Brother Terry Horn, Lord willing, going to be speaking for us in the morning. I know that's going to be good. We're just heading for some good times is all I can tell you. Isn't it good to be in church tonight, though? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night.
Play some more of that, guys.
Lift up your
salvation, draweth nigh, draweth nigh.
Hallelujah. Or do you believe it with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn says to remember a close friend and family. Brother Steve Newsom, their mother passed away from a heart attack. Also for traveling mercies for Brother Steve, the family driving to Ohio for the funeral. So I want to pray for that need tonight. Sister Deanna Glenn, home sick in body tonight, needs a touch from the Lord. Let's remember her. Brother Fred Green says to remember his grandson and his family, Dion Wolf, special needs in their lives. We'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. Here's a prayer request for Sister Star McFarland. She's home tonight with a sore throat, so we want to remember her as we pray. This is from Sherrod Hamilton. Please pray for my mother. The doctors say that she has cancer. Also, my father-in-law is sick in body. Don't know what the problem is. So we want to commit those needs unto the Lord, that God would just be mindful of that situation tonight. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He's in the Johnson City Medical Center. Very weak, can't eat very much at all. They're running many tests, but the doctors cannot find the problem. So we just pray. Well, we know that the doctor Jesus can have the diagnosis. He's already got it diagnosed. He knows what he's doing. So let's remember Brother Eugene tonight as we pray. I want to pray for her sister Sarah Yontz. Has hurt her back, unable to be in the service tonight. So let's remember that need. Also want to pray for Brother David Nunley, who is still in the intensive care unit, not doing well. So they're asking that we would remember Brother David in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. We'll just commit that need unto the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Somebody say, I believe you with all my heart. I believe you with all my heart. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him as we stand tonight. Brother Skip, would you come tonight, pray over these needs? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. Commit all these needs unto the Lord tonight. How many of you know God's able? You know he's able tonight. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's all just bow our heads. Dear Lord, another Thanksgiving's come and gone, and we're most thankful for your word, Lord. And thank you for the services we've had here lately, Father, and for all the fellowship of the people, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for each request. There's a bomb in Gilead, and we still look toward that bomb. Lord, you're the only healer there is, and we look toward you for healing, Father. We ask you to be with Brother West tonight, that you'd anoint him in a mighty way, anoint our ears that we might hear and understand your word. May they be a direct channel, Father, between me and you and each person and you through the ministry, however you'd speak to us, but speak to our hearts, Lord. Just speak to us. Draw us near unto you. Let us leave here better Christians. All these requests, Lord, there's so much trouble in the land, so much sickness, so many new diseases, so many things that just man can't get a handle on, Lord. But, Lord, people have confidence to send these requests in here to this church. And we're asking, Lord, that each individual, maybe it's something that they've been through in the past, that they can actually intercede for one of these requests, Lord. May each one of us take them to heart. Help each one. Be with us tonight. Reveal your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Skip. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, pray this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. The new church directory, they have those for you available over in the library tonight, one per family. So if you want to pick those up, they're available for you in the library. Also, Brother Donnie's new singing CD, I think, came in this past Thursday. They have those available for you over in the library. If you'd like to pick one of those up tonight, they have those for you over there also. Let's sing a song tonight. Precious Jesus. Is he precious to you? Is he really precious to you? Does he mean more than life to you? Is it the greatest thing that you ever heard of in your life? Does he mean more than life to you? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Praise. precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon. There's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Love me, Savior, my sunshine in the midnight. Oh, my guiding star that's shining all the day. Sing that chorus again. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon. There's peace and triumph when you speak His name.
As an ocean in the desert, as lovely as a flower in the snow, and who is as watchful as an eagle or her young?
I can't think of nobody, Harvey.
As peaceful as a summer breeze that blows.
Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon. There's peace and triumph when you speak His name.
Smiles and hums a happy melody. A liberated soul can sing about being bound for long without looking up and realizing he's been set free.
There's peace and triumph when you speak His name.
Speak His name.
Love me,
Savior. My sunshine
in the
midnight.
Oh, my guiding star that's shining. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Now who is the one who always understands all your blues? But He just smiles and hums happy melody. He's not one bit nervous about what's bothering you, because he's got the answer already worked out. Sing the rest of it for me.
A liberated soul can't sing about being bound for long without looking up to heaven and realizing he's already been set free.
Jesus,
sweet rose of Sharon, there's peace and triumph when you speak his name.
Somebody say his name, precious Jesus. Oh, why don't you just lift your hands, give him a little bit of thanksgiving and praise tonight. Precious Jesus, what a Savior he is. Blessed be the Lord.
How great thou art. How great thou art. Listen to how great thou art.
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus while we praise him tonight. How great is your God tonight. Could you put a price on what he means to you? He's priceless. You can't even measure him. He means more than life to us, don't he? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. God bless you. You're just singing so good tonight. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we're going to grow right on into this service. Brother Harry's got us a song tonight, whatever the Lord would put on his heart. Then I want him to sing just before Brother Wes comes out. Before we do that, I want Brother Andrew Johnson. I've been asking this young man for months and months and months, and he said, I'm working. So he's got it worked out. And we're glad to hear him tonight. Give him a nice hand as he comes to sing.
On the first day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me salvation full and free. On the second day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me everlasting life and salvation full and free. On the third day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the fourth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the fifth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the sixth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the seventh day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the eighth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the ninth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me mansions above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the tenth day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me streets of pure gold, mansions above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the 11th day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me 1,000 tongues to sing, streets of pure gold, mansions above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. On the 12th day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me eternity to praise, 1,000 tongues to sing, streets of pure gold, mansions above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free.
Just go ahead and remain standing as Brother Harry sings for us tonight. I'd like to see Mean Jim Babb get past the first day of Christmas on that one. Brother Andrew, God bless you. That was good. Thank you so much. We love the Lord, don't we? Isn't it good to be a Christian? Don't you appreciate talent and what God can do? Amen. Sing us the songs, Brother West comes tonight. Brother West Willis is going to come speak for you tonight. I want you to pray for our brother. He and his family are a tremendous blessing to this assembly. And I just want to say that. And we appreciate him very much. Let's help Brother Harry sing a song, a chorus, whatever you've got for us tonight. We'll help you.
It'll be something simple.
See how it is? Don't get it past the first
Brother Andrew, I don't know how he remembered all those words.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say,
love that song. I absolutely love that song. It's beautiful.
Amen.
You know, when you touch the heart of God and you meet Him for the first time and you have that sweet, deep communion with Him. And you realize that He's real and He knows that you're there and that He's aware of you. That's what it provokes, is words of worship like that. And I just love that. If you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 for the opening verses tonight. While you're turning there, I'd like to give you a little testimony real quick. My wife went in for a test at the beginning of the week, and she had a mammogram, and they found something on it. And they asked her to come back, and that unspoken request, that serious unspoken request that Brother Louis read Wednesday, was over that. We didn't want to, cause fear, but we wanted prayer. Fear is the enemy of faith, and we didn't want to generate anything like that. And so we asked for it in an unspoken way. And she went back yesterday, and the test came back negative. And everything was fine. So you go. There's no way that we can express our gratitude to the Lord until we've been in a place where, her mother had just passed away from breast cancer. And so fear was really trying to get a hold. And, 100 years ago when doctors couldn't do as much, people didn't think about the doctor first. They went to their knees first. They grabbed hold of their faith first. That was the first choice. Nowadays, if we think the doctor might not be able to handle it, then we go to our faith. So, this in this age, for God to be present enough and to be preached of and spoken of in the right way to where it teaches us faith before fear is such a blessing. We should not let go of it, folks. We should not let go of it. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once, let me repeat that, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we find ourselves gathered together once again to worship and praise you, to adore you, Lord, to most of all hear from you. And Lord, I don't want it to be an exercise in vanity. I want your word to come through. I need you to move me out of the way and speak to your dear children, Lord. Your dear children, as you pronounced right here. The words of truth and of life and eternity, Lord. The words of beauty. The things that you would have for us to grow closer to you. Lord, give us hearts to accept it. Lord, help us to receive you with thanksgiving, Lord Jesus. We love you so much. Make yourself real to us tonight here, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, please, add your blessing to the word. There's a lot of power in testimony. Testimony is so strong. Paul's testimony of being a man who hunted down the church and killed his brothers and sisters before he came to the Lord. I mean, that's That's a huge testimony. Amen. Testimonies of people being healed. Things like that are something that the Lord uses. It's things that just among us as simple believers working and walking through this world, telling others about what the Lord's done for us can cause so many things. It can cause ripples through the whole kingdom. When another believer comes into the fold as a result of our testimony of the things that God has done for us. I'm so glad that God has given us a portion of faith. Each one of us has a portion of faith. I'm so glad. I'm so happy for that. If you will, turn to Malachi chapter 1. Let's start with chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Let's stop right there just a minute. As a preacher of the word, I understand this burden. Many people, and rightly so, there's nothing wrong with this, would ask me, before I come to speak before a group, they'll say, are you nervous? And in my body and in my spirit, yes, sometimes I'm a little nervous. But it's not because of standing before the crowd with me. With some people it would be maybe more and some people less. But, there's a little element of that, of course, because, you love the people so much and you don't want to mess up and you don't want to do something foolish and bring reproach upon the gospel of Jesus Christ or the body. And so there's an element of nervousness, but that's not really the burden. For a minister's wife or family, they see the man under the burden and they may mistake it for nervousness sometimes. But the burden is different than that. The burden is the weight of the word of the Lord. And the Lord has impressed with such seriousness the importance of the true unadulterated word of God on these men that burden is extremely heavy. And so you come out before the people with this great burden and you want to express it. And you want to express it in a way to where the Lord can communicate with his children and can draw them closer. Right. And can bring victory into their lives in some way. You know that there's a power there at work that can speak to each and every individual heart in the room or on the internet tonight. If you're a visitor here tonight, you know, I don't know if there's any here. If you're new on the internet and you're just tuning in for the first time and you're seeing this church for the first time maybe, You know, I was a visitor once here. I came in as a visitor just like you did. And I noticed a difference right off the bat. I noticed that there was order. There was a very quiet, respectful atmosphere when we came into the house of God. That order just slapped me right in the face because I'd come from a denominational church where it wasn't so. You might notice we didn't hand you coffee and donuts as you came in. You might notice there's not theater seats here for your carnal comfort and pleasure. You might notice that there is a different type of dress code that you see among the people here, of people who are trying to adhere to holiness and trying to be pleasing to God and not to man. And you might mistake that for religion. And it could be so with some, but with most it's not. With most, it's a deep-seated desire to please the Lord. The first time I came in here and sat down, our women take a lot of flack. But the first thing I noticed is how quiet and respectful it was. It did my heart so much good. My brother Darren reminded me, he said, now when you go in, don't be talking and stuff. Just sit down and be real quiet and real reverent and pray so that the Lord will speak to you. I said, okay. I was coming to get baptized. I noticed as the sisters filed in, It absolutely blew me away. It blew me away. They were dressed soberly, conducting themselves soberly. They were dressed modestly. Their long hair, uncut, was flowing behind them. They came in quietly and sat down without saying a word and began to pray. And I thought, where am I at? I've never seen this kind of respect before. I've never seen a place where the standard was held so high and with such care. And I thought, wow. What a ministry is at work here. The very ministry of Jesus Christ. It humbled me so much. And I saw something different.
Amen.
When I was in the denominational world, nothing mattered but numbers. Yeah. All you had to do was get them to repeat a little, what they called the sinner's prayer, and then it didn't matter what they did after that. They were saved and they were out of your hands. It didn't matter. Just try to make them happy. Give them whatever they want. Tell them whatever they want. And see how many you can get in the door so you can get your building program going.
Yeah.
Now, those kind of things were turning my stomach, and I couldn't understand why I was at the place that was supposed to be the house of God, and I was getting that instead of the truth.
Amen.
Sorry. So if you're a visitor, and it seems a little alien, and it seems a little strange, and it's somewhat uncomfortable to your flesh, I ask you to delve into it in prayer, with respect and prayer to God, and ask Him, hey, is there something different about this place? Is this a cult? Is this just religion? Ask God. I'm not afraid for you to ask Him that, because He will tell you the truth. And maybe you will find the truth, because it's just not out there. A poet. Let me back up. The Native Americans had a great respect for words. They believed that words were magical. They believed that because a man could tell you a story, he could describe a river and maybe some brave that traveled a great distance to find his bride. And it told, you could tell him in this story about the perils he faced, the bear that he killed. You could tell him about, you know, the cliff that he climbed. You could tell about the eagle that he saw that screamed out her name. And as you told the story, the picture would form in their mind, and they would see, and there would be a story in their mind that had not been there before. And they considered this to be a magic thing. They considered it to be a sacred thing, a story. It was such a sacred thing. Well, what they didn't understand is they had tapped in to God's way of communicating with His people. God revealing Himself through His Word. They had tapped into that. And that's how God does reveal Himself. He can put words together in such a way as to where after you hear them, you're never the same again. And so the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. This is a heavy, heavy thing. A poet can say a few words. And if it's a really good poet, you'll get this epiphany. Suddenly your heart is in beat with theirs. Your mind is in tune with theirs. You're understanding what they understand. You're seeing what they see. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I remember the first thing I did. It wasn't a revelation. It was an epiphany where that first happened to me. And I couldn't believe it. Poetry was boring and stupid to me as a child, and I didn't understand it, and I thought it was girl stuff. And I just didn't get it. But when I saw the power that could be transferred from the mind of one human to another, that was a big thing. It was a touching thing to me when I heard the words of a young girl 100 years ago, and she spoke, and suddenly her heart and my heart were in tune. And I saw what she saw, and I realized the power of words. That's nothing compared to the weight of the word of the Lord. Now, Malachi, here in verse 1, Malachi, if you'll go back, you don't have to turn, but if you ever notice, like in Zechariah, in the first verse it says, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of whoever, and so on and so forth. And it totally tells you exactly who the man was. In Haggai, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of whoever, and so on and so forth. And the word always identifies the man. But I found out through correspondence with a Jewish rabbi, I found out that Malachi is not a proper noun. That Malachi is not necessarily a name. It means my messenger. Now, most biblical names, they have a meaning to them, so you might think that's not common. But what I really caught about this, and what really struck me about the fact that Malachi might not be a proper name, it might just be a description of the man,
sure,
was that his name was left completely out. All of the emphasis was put on the word of the Lord. All of it was the message. All of it was what he said, not who he was. And I thought that was very fitting that that would be the heart of the messenger that he was going to proclaim at the end of his book. I thought that was very interesting. Don't worry, we're getting out of the first verse. Now, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The people had just come out of 70 years of bondage. 70 years of bondage, they had just come out. They had been the slaves of another people. They had been under bondage, and there was just a remnant that had come out. It's kind of like the true believers today.
Yeah.
Amen. We've been in bondage, and we came out. And now we're trying to figure this out. We're trying to hear from the Lord. We're trying to get the truth. So he says, he goes on to say, this is the word of the Lord. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? So the people are saying, now wait a minute. Like they say today, God's not fair. What's fair about God? This one prayed and they didn't get healed. That one prayed, they're still on crutches. This one's mother died. Tell us exactly what you mean when you say you love us. Now, what does the world say to us when we tell them about the love of God? They say, well, why are children starving? They start throwing up all these ideas and these thoughts of men. Well, the Jews were right there. They're like, hey, we just came out of 70 years of bondage. And Nehemiah got us to build the wall back and everything. And here we are, and there's just a remnant of us, and we're always under attack. And you're saying you love us. You know, why don't you build the case a little bit? So they had an arrogant, ungrateful attitude towards God. God's kind of mocking them here. He's saying, you say, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? So God's kind of mocking them. He's saying, listen, you're about to grow up a little bit. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau. Now see, we got to stop here again for just a second. You know, if you're going to tell a child, hey, you're my favorite child, then you got to also compare them to the one that's not the favorite.
Come on.
There are several divisions that take place throughout the word. You know, there's lots of divisions. You know, you can go back as far as Cain and Abel. And you can keep going. And there's places where God brings it to a place where he says, okay, there's got to be a division. There's got to be a split. Something's got to break right here. One's going to go with me and the other one's going to go this way. And it happens over and over again in the word. And God doesn't leave room for confusion. He lets one of those splits happen when it's needed, when it's necessary to show the people the true way. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Now, Brother Branham had an interesting take on this. Now, it sounds like we're talking about Jacob and Esau. But we're talking about a split. And we're talking about people that are supposed to be maturing. He just said right up here, ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?
Yeah.
And this is what he comes back with.
Yeah.
This is what the Lord comes back with. When the people had in their indignation said, prove it. You say you love us, prove it. He said, okay, you're going to have to grow up. Brother Branham says, in the Smyrna church age, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. It is strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Is it strange? I'm sorry. No, sir. And we all have trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Now this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. So if you're thinking, well, that's a Smyrna church age, that doesn't apply to us. We're not supposed to suffer. We're not supposed to be scourged. You're wrong. You're just dead wrong.
Amen.
Now this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. There is no age free from it.
Amen.
There is no true believer from it, free from it. This is of God.
Amen.
Wow. You're going to be scourged and it's of God. The doctor's going to say, come back for a test. We might have found something. This is the will of God. It is needful. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be like Christ and be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffereth long and is kind. Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Got just a little more to go here. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. You know what a relief this is to me? This has been a bad year. You know what a relief this was to my soul? Are there those among you who've been sick and had losses and had troubles this year that can read this and take a sigh of relief and go, oh, praise God, this has nothing to do with how much God loves me. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of His love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the Beloved. His love is elective, which He had for us before the foundation of the world. Does He love us? Ah, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because He said so. And manifested that He did love us, for He brought us to Himself and gave us of His Spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to Him? By believing what He said. Amen. And by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that He in His wisdom allows to come to pass.
Amen.
He in His wisdom allows to come to pass. Amen. These fiery trials. He allows them to come to pass.
Amen.
And I can stand here and I can tell you with all truth and sincerity, I am so glad He does.
Yes.
I praise God. I praise God that these trials have been building up and piling up and coming more frequently and getting more and more and more, and that the age is getting darker and the sin is growing worse. I'm so grateful that it's getting harder. I'm so blessed that it's affecting me. I'm so blessed that these things are being allowed to come against me by God's wisdom. I'm blessed beyond measure. Now, the rebuke goes on.
All right.
Y'all can sigh a sigh of relief because it switches over to the priesthood. Okay. Now, they had been in bondage for 70 years. The Davidic kingship was kind of washed out and gone away. The priests had kind of taken over the government, kind of taken over everything. The priesthood had. Nehemiah was off the scene. The priests were kind of against the Davidic order, the kingship. They were kind of against the prophets. The last prophet that they acknowledged, these priests and the rabbis, which later became the Pharisees, the last one they really acknowledged was Malachi. But the prophets came to the common man. Because the priesthood was not doing its job. Now, there's a parallel here between our day and this day. God was speaking from his heart to his people. He was telling them, this is my heart. I'm going to reveal my heart to you. I'm going to reveal my emotions to you. Now, we know that we don't go by emotions. We know that because we get chills and our hair stands on end and we get the goosebumps or whatever, we know that that isn't necessarily something that we go with, or the absence of that doesn't necessarily mean that God's not with us or present. Okay? It doesn't have any bearing on that. We learn that emotions are to be cast down as any kind of indicator, as any kind of, you know, diagnostic machine. So we put that aside. But God does have emotion, doesn't he? A while back, I was studying for a lesson to bring to the young people. I was in my office at work, and it was at lunchtime. And the Lord brought me to some really dark things that I was supposed to study for the young people. And it was dreadful stuff. It was stuff about, you know, sexual sin and abortion and things like this. And it was just really, really dark, dreadful things that you know, nobody really wants to look at. And as I was studying, I was going through different materials, and I saw some pictures that the pro-life movement uses to try to get people to think twice about having an abortion. Now, I hope this is not too graphic. Please forgive me. But there's a reason. So I'm looking at these pictures, and as a man, as a human, anybody that looks at something like that's going to be hurt. If their conscience is not seared, they're going to see these precious little children, you know, that they pulled out of dumpsters and everything else. They're going to see that, and they're going to be hurt, you know. They're going to be affected. You see, you know, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It's just another Holocaust is what it is. And it's terrible. It's terrible. But while I was looking at this, the presence of the Lord fell in the room. And I'd never quite experienced anything like this before. But there was a grief and a groan that came from my soul and began to work itself out of my body. And it overwhelmed me to the point where I couldn't control myself anymore. And this groan just began to pour out. And you just have to take my word for it. It was a supernatural level. It was beyond what I could handle myself as a mortal. It just kept coming and coming and coming like there was no bottom and no end to it. And the grief, and I felt and experienced the very grief of God. It went on so long that I thought I couldn't bear it anymore. And finally it subsided. And about that time, I don't remember what it was, Brother Terry, that you were calling me about. You were calling me to ask me about something to do with the youth or something that we had planned. I can't remember what it was, but Brother Terry called me, and I was so beside myself I couldn't even hardly speak to him. I don't know if you do you remember that, brother?
I
told him, I said, I'm sorry, I've just come out of deep prayer, and I said, I'm just kind of beside myself, and I was trying to get my mind back on track where I could even talk to the man. It was so bad. And that's not an everyday thing for me. I don't want you to get the idea that that's an everyday thing. It was a rare occurrence. But the grief of God was so heavy. It was so heavy over and so burdened over the condition of this world and what his children are being faced with. And the kind of things that we're exposed to. And he doesn't want us to have to be part of all this, but we are because of the fall. Now, that burden was too much for me to share with the young people. And I did not believe that I was supposed to. I didn't know I was running from God, but I did run from God. And I didn't preach this sermon. And it just kept nagging at me and nagging at me, and things just kept going down and down and down. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And we took a trip. And on that trip, I finally just got to the point where I had to get with God and say, what is it you want from me? What is going on? It was like his presence was just not pleased with me. He was just pulling away from me. And it finally broke, and he showed me that I was supposed to preach that to the young people. So when I did, it lifted a great burden off of me. Amen. And it was over with finally. And I realized when I see the burden that Malachi was under, that the people having come out of bondage, the priests were not willing to put any burden on them. Mm. These priests were just not willing. Listen to what the Lord says. And this is the Lord opening his heart. Now please, just really intently try to focus on what the Lord's saying and see if you can pick up what the Lord's emotion is here. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? Who can hurt you worse than your children? What stings more than the disrespect of your child? I mean, at first it might provoke anger. You might pull out a little wrath. You might punish them. But then later you have to question yourself, what have I done to where he has no more respect for me than that? What have I done to deserve that level of disrespect? And you look at it, you know, and it hurts. Who can hurt you like that? God's saying, look, don't you see what you're doing? You're my people. You're my favorite child. I'm trying to get you to see.
Yeah.
And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? So here he goes again. He's mocking them again. Saying, you priests, you despise my name. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. Where have we despised your name, Lord?
Come on now. Get it, brother.
Well, I can tell you where they do in the world today. But let's go to these first. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil?
Yeah.
And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts.
That's good.
Now, and now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand.
Yeah.
Then he goes on a little further and he tells them about the Gentiles. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place in incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Saying, look, you all don't care about me, but there's a people that will. They'll worship me from sun up to sundown.
Amen.
Now you say, okay, Brother Wes, how's this a parallel of today? Do you not see how the preachers of this world, out in the world, hate the word? They despise the word? You might find a fundamental church somewhere where some guy will really preach fire and brimstone and he just really seems to love the word. And then you look at his congregation and you go, well, brother, why aren't you preaching on how they dress and about the women's hair? And why aren't you preaching about that? Well, they'd run me off. I had to make a decision, you know. I mean, you got to let some stuff slide or they'll run you off. I mean, what good would I be doing sitting at the house? What good would I be doing if I only had one or two to preach to? If my whole congregation left, how would we pay the light bill?
Yeah.
They despise God's word.
Amen.
Who cares about the light bill?
Yeah.
You say, Brother Wes, that's easy for you to say because look at this place. It's wonderful. It's like a palace. God's blessed us so much. Well, you know what? There's a standard being held here too. And there's people who love the word and love the truth here too.
Amen.
I've been there. Some of you haven't, but some of you have. Some of the younger ones have never seen it. I went to a church one time where my brother-in-law went. He's a Baptist minister. They had five services a day in a church about this size. They had several ministers that would take turns preaching, and they all preached the same sermon from the same notes. And they handed out the notes and the scriptures and everything before the service. They took your children away from you while you went into the service. They also gave you donuts and coffee, just like I was joking about earlier. And they brought you in, and it was very non-offensive. Unless you had the Spirit of God in you. Then it made you want to vomit. It was terrible. They took the kids down and they played games and gave them stuffed animals and everything. And what did the kids want to do when we got outside? They wanted to go back. They were wondering if church was open tomorrow. You know?
Come on.
They later moved that church to a coliseum that they bought. Huge. Just to pack them in. Woman preacher preached our service. Those people had good intentions, but they hated God's word. They were offering blind sacrifices, lame sacrifices. These priests saw these people come out of captivity, and they said, "We need to take it easy on them. We need to be in charge of the government. We need to worry about that. We don't want to make them too mad. We want everybody to be happy. We got to work on this from every angle. You know, if this man right here has five cows and one of them is a show cow and the rest are duds, we can't take his good cow. How can we do that? We can't tell him he's got to give us his good cow. He might quit and not give us any. We can't preach on tithing. My goodness, these people, you know, they love their wallets. This is the first time they've had money since slavery. They're finally doing good. They've got livestock. They've got homes. They've got everything starting to go. We cannot run them off from the church by telling them the truth. They hated the truth.
Come on now.
They despised it. What they didn't understand was what Brother Joe was talking about the other night. These sacrifices spoke of our Lord. And Malachi was standing there with this burden on his shoulders. And he's looking ahead, and you know, this is the same man who over here, and you just turn the page. And in chapter 3, he says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Malachi had eyes to see a little bit further than these priests. And he was saying, look, the sacrifice that we're speaking of when we ask for a perfect animal is a perfect sacrifice. He's our Lord and our Master. And we cannot speak of him with these blind and halt and ripped animals that have been torn by wolves or whatever. We have to bring him our best.
Amen.
We have to bring him our best. It's not a choice. Malachi was saying, open your eyes. Look, look, look. I'm the prophet that God has sent. I'm the messenger that God has sent. I'm looking out there a little further than you can see right now, and you need to understand. There's one coming, and you're speaking of him. When he returns back through time, and he comes back, and he says, "What did you offer me? How did it speak of me? How did it speak of our relationship? What did it say you thought about me?"
That's good.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
They hated the law. It was what they had. We have grace now, but we don't turn grace into disgrace.
That's right.
We don't hate the law. We see it as a guiding principle. We know that. But what are we offering? The parallel is here. This is God saying, hey, I'm getting ready to wipe my hands of you. I'm going to send my Messiah, and I'm going to go to the Gentiles. I'm going to leave you in the dust. But today, what's he saying? My time with the Gentiles is just about up. My time's just about up. You're offering me your blind and your halt. You're not making the sacrifice that you should be making. You're not giving me everything. You're not giving me your whole heart. You're not giving respect to the word like you should. You're not paying attention to church order the way you should. You're not giving dignity to the word the way you should. So Malachi says, hey, I know this is going to speak to that generation too. So let me tell you about the next one. My vision goes a little bit further than John the Baptist. It goes to the messenger of the seventh church age.
Amen.
The one that's going to be here before the dreadful day of the Lord. When he comes back for his bride. When he comes back for those who are not ashamed of the gospel. For those who do practice holiness. Not begrudgingly.
Right. Yeah.
but with a heart of love. Understanding that their Father loves them. Understanding that He has given all for them. Understanding that the sacrifice is worthy.
Amen.
The parallel here cannot be denied. Look at where we're at. Look at what time it is. If Brother Branham's saying it's 2 minutes till midnight, what is it now? Look at what they've done with the word of the prophet. Look at what they've done. They said, we're not listening to you, Malachi. We're not listening to you, John the Baptist. We're not listening to you, William Branham. We're not going to listen. We don't care. You ask too much. Brother Ram said, "Why?" Just a few weeks ago, I read an editorial. Yes, it was an editorial by an unsaved businessman, not a Christian. He said that he was amazed at the churches. He could not understand them. They had seminaries filled with professors who taught the Word of God in order to destroy it. Now then, this man could not figure that out. He was appalled by it. He said that he could understand the atheist or communist or free thinker or someone else doing that. But when the church itself destroyed the Word of God, it was tantamount to premeditated murder. There's your hybrid religion. Wake up, America, before it's too late. The parallel terrifies me. That there are people out there that are in bondage. And they think that they've come out of the first level and they're sitting in a church where a man despises the offerings to God. But ye have profaned it, and ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. What a weariness it is. He saved my soul. He saved my whole, my soul, but you know what? I really just don't want to go to church. I don't have the desire. I sat in a denominational church where they did not teach the Holy Ghost. They did not have the right baptism. They did not tell me that there was a baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'd say, you got to be born again. What does that mean? Well, you say the sinner's prayer. And then maybe you teach Sunday school. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. We're getting ready to leave. The bride of Christ is getting ready to leave. The time is almost up. The time is actually at hand. And we've got people who despise, who are weary, who hate God. They profess to be Christians and hate God. They profess to be Christians and they hate God. Paul was not afraid when he said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Is our attitude, is our walk, is our way, does it speak of this? Paul was not afraid to preach this. Amen. When Paul preached this, doubtless there was one man on this side and one man on that side who did not agree. Who did not treat each other with love and respect. And they needed to hear this. And the weight of the word was on him and he had to say it, and he did. Fornication and all uncleanness. Is it spoken of? Is it spoken of today? Is it accepted? Is it spoken of? You know, Paul goes on to say right here, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather of giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's laying it out flat and plain. He's not holding any punches back. He's carrying the burden of this. He knows that when he says this, he's going to make enemies. He knows that when he takes his stand on the word, that people are going to hate him and there's going to be a division.
Right.
Cain and Abel is going to happen again.
Yeah.
Jacob and Esau is going to happen again.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
But Paul delivers the word.
Amen.
He takes the package and he delivers it. Amen. Satan has plenty of packages. Let's sign for the route one.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I've heard lots of people say, give me a man that'll preach fire and brimstone. I love it. As long as he doesn't preach the one thing that is in my life. Don't mess with my computer. Don't mess with what I do when nobody's looking. Get out of my closet. I put on a good face here at this church. So stay out of my closet. I'm doing a good job. I am a shined up apple. All whoremongers.
Right.
All.
Amen.
I preached this to the young people. It broke my heart. It broke my heart to show them how a person feeds the victimization of other people by looking at one website. There's an ad there at the side of that website that somebody's paying money for.
Yep.
The man who posts that garbage is getting money for it. He's getting money for it, so he's got to go out and find more victims. He's got to go find more victims. He's got to find more people to pull into a life of sin, to hook on drugs, and then get them into a photo studio. It's not a victimless crime. It's not a victimless crime. Over half the clergy in America admittedly looks at pornography. Admittedly. Why do you think it goes on? Why do you think it's so prolific? Why do you think that it's just saturating our world? The Lord looks at this and he says, here, Malachi, I've got a burden for you. I'm going to put this burden on you. And you're not going to be able to carry it. You're going to have to tell the people. Because it's going to be way too much. You won't be able to carry it. But there was those among them. There were those people among them who did not want to hear it. And he goes on. He goes on. And he talks about this age. And he talks about the messenger that's going to come. And he talks about us being guilty of the same things. But there's going to be a people that aren't. There's going to be a people that get victory. There's going to be a people that say, Malachi, lay that whip to my back. Go ahead and tell me the truth and tell me straight. Get me straightened out. Go ahead and preach with such conviction that I can't leave this church tonight without going to that brother or going to that sister that I got a problem with and making it right. Because I want to go. I want to go when he comes. Not on. I don't want to be here on that dreadful day. I want to be here on that day. I want to go with him on that day when he comes. I want him to receive me. The priests, they were sitting so happy and so comfortable, they just thought, we got it all wrapped up. We got it all wrapped up. We got a meat market going on here. We've got, you know, a good economy going. We've got them paying for this and us doing this and doing that. We're ruling over everything. We've gotten, you know, we've gotten David out of the way in his line. We got the prophets relegated to crazy men out in the woods. We got everything pushed back out of the way. And they had, you know, that same religious spirit. It's just over and over and over again. That same thing over and over again. It's so easy to recognize when we look back at it. But can we recognize it right around us right now? Can we recognize it when the smell of it comes into our nose while we're talking to somebody at church? Can we recognize it when it walks right up next to us and sits down? Can we recognize it? And I'm not talking about your brother or sister on the pew. I'm talking about Jacob and Esau right here. Can we smell it? Can we smell it when we start to give in to it? It's so easy to say, yep, I think he might be Cain. And that one over there, he might be Esau. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? What about when we look in the mirror? What about then? You know, the burden of the word. I want to go back to it again one more time because I want you to understand. I just want you to understand what it is. To stand and tell the truth, you realize God tells you straight to your face when He calls you, I'm going to make you a fool. You're going to present my word through the foolishness of preaching. And I touched on it one time before, but you know, our pastor has to get up here and he has to tell you what God's told him to say. And he gets punished for it. He gets punished for it. Lots of trouble comes his way because of what he's doing. Lots. I'm just a tadpole in a big ocean. Brother Donnie stands right here and he takes hard licks that you all know nothing about because of his stand for the truth. This is so rare. You don't know. I looked so far. You know, it was the Lord leading me, but my hunger could not be satisfied out there. It couldn't be satisfied out there. The truth was not out there to be found. And the truth does hurt. I understand. Sometimes the truth, when the light of the truth is shown on your life, you come up short and you go, I'm coming up short here, Lord. I see it. I'm weak. I fall all the time with this and I do that and I do that. But Lord, my desire is for you to change me. The Lord is trying to show His heart tonight. He's saying, I love you in a way that you don't even understand. I let trials come into your lives because I'm trying to shape you. Because I'm chastising you because I love you so much. I'm going to mature you past the point of thinking that I have to goo goo gaga and put a passy in your mouth to make you happy. I'm getting you past that point to where you can eat the meat, to where you can accept the word. I'm getting you to the point where Esau and Jacob will split. This time, more than any other, now more than any other time in our personal history, in our lives, and the people who are sitting here, the people who are under the sound of my voice tonight, right now more than any other time that you've ever lived in your life, it is so important that you pray for the ministry, that you pray, that you take the time, that you separate from this world. You know, it's so hard to hear, hey, you know, you're focusing too much on your television, you're focusing too much on your movies, you're on the internet too much, you know, you're really taking too much time away from God, and you need to open your heart to Him, you need to spend more time in prayer. You need to actually bow under the conviction of the word instead of ignoring it and walking out of here like a duck, like water off a duck's back and just going out and forgetting what was said. It's a time to buckle down. It's a time to look at God and say, what do you want from me, Lord? It's a time to say, we're going to get serious now. We're going to get serious. The world demands so much, and it's a time for us to start saying no. No. I'm tired of your demands. I'm not taking it anymore. You sisters, I know the pressure is so hard. I know how hard the pressure is. Some of you, because of your dedication to the Word and your love for God, have surpassed this long ago. But some are right in the middle of the battle right now. And you're fighting every day. It's a struggle not to trim your hair, not to do this, not to do that, whatever. It's a struggle not to give in because the world is so demanding. And God's saying, look, I understand the burden of my word. I understand the burden. I understand the trouble it brings into your life. I understand the misunderstanding. I understand what it's like to look somebody in the face who's blinded spiritually and they have no idea. And they hate you for it. He knows what it's like.
Yes, sir.
And you're His dear children. You're His favorite.
Yeah.
And when He leaves, when He comes and gets us and we leave this world, then He's going back to the Jewish people.
Amen.
That's coming about. That's getting ready to happen.
Amen.
The squeeze is on them now. I don't know if you know it, but it's happening worldwide. The squeeze is on them so bad. They're under so much pressure that they're just about to lose their minds. It's time. The stage is set for Elijah and Moses to step onto the scene. The time is here. I'm telling you, folks, God is making His last call. When He draws the parallel between where these Jews were sitting at that time, right before the coming of the Lord, and us now, then you've got to know it's close. We've got to accept the fact that He's coming, and He's coming soon. And we've got to take on the mantle without looking at it as a burden.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Sorry, let me flip back here. Sorry about the little delay here. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He did.
Amen.
And He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He did. He did. You're living proof of it. Aren't you? You're living proof of it. He did it. He did it. My concern is this. That people can learn to adapt and fit into their surroundings. And there may be those among us who we all love so much who have not bowed their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who have not truly given their heart and given their life completely to Him. Yeah. Without reservation. Without holding back. There are those who have heard this word, who've sat under this word, who've listened to grandma and papa talk about it, who've listened to mom and dad talk about it, who've seen their friends at the altar, but they've sat there blending in really good with their long hair and their skirt, but they've never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, never turned their soul over to Him, turned their life over to Him, never had that moment where His word was revealed. And they saw it. And they know Him. And they can say, I know Him.
Amen.
That's my concern. I won't say it's a fear because He's going to have everyone that's His.
Amen.
But it's my concern that some have not broken down and given in. And they need to, and they could have so much more victory if they just would.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There are so many who have been among us and they did not like the pressure. They just did not like the pressure. They did not put importance on the word. They hated the bread. They found it contemptible. There's teachers who have taught them to be that way. Who said, "Don't. It's not that bad. You don't have to go that far. You don't have to go that far." When you're at church, don't talk about that movie at church. Don't let them know you do this. When you go over to so-and-so's house, don't mention this or mention that.
Amen.
It's hard. It's hard, but He chastises those that He loves. His favorite children. I tell you what, when you turn that corner, you have such freedom. If you'll hang in there, I just want to encourage you. If you'll hang in there, if you'll bear down, if you'll press, and you'll get to that place where you turn the corner, where you see the chastisement, and you go, thank God for the chastisement.
Amen.
Thank God for the whippings, Lord. Thank You, Lord. When you actually get to where you mean it, and with all your heart, you hear that word, and you go, thank You, Lord. It's not something I dread. It's not something I weary of. It's something I need. If you come to that point, there is such freedom. There is such victory. There is such things of such great proportions. I cannot expound upon it with human words and let you know just how great it is. How great our God is. How much He truly loves us. How wonderful He is. How powerful He is. How all this garbage around us is going to be swept away. And it's going to be worth the wait. It's going to be worth the press. It's going to be worth the chastisement. It's going to be worth all the hard lectures and the preaching. It's going to be worth it all. I want to encourage you. I want you to walk out of here and have a determination that you are not going to leave out of here worse than you came in. That you're going to go out with a determination. I don't want to rally you with a rally cry and yell and try to get you excited and try to get your pulse up. But I do want you to know that if you'll just press, the prize is inside. It's inside. If you just won't give up. Musicians, if you'd like to come, just go ahead and start your way up here. So many have left for an easy peasy gospel. I know so many, it breaks my heart. How can you tell somebody, how can you beg them to come back when they think that you're deluded and foolish? And entrapped in some kind of cult or something. How can you open the eyes of a blind man? Unless God does it, you can't do it. If God doesn't do it, you can't do it. I don't have the power myself. You know, I don't like what Simon the sorcerer did, but you have to be able to understand him. Wouldn't you give just about anything if you could just open the eyes of everybody? You could just, you know, do the work of the Holy Ghost. Say, okay, I want you back, and I want you back, and you back, and you back, and you back that left. I want you to come back. You know, and they just walk in the door. And embrace the truth.
Yeah. Amen.
The truth is, we have to just not hate it.
Yeah.
And we have to walk in it and be what we are and be what God ordained us to be. But here's the kicker. You can do that and do it with a sourpuss. Or you can do it with a heart of gladness and joy. You can look at the word cancer and laugh.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I know I can. For my wife's sake, I didn't in front of her, but I was laughing inside. I knew the devil was just trying to mess with me. I knew that it was just one more tactic of the devil. I know that this is just temporary. I don't care who dies or who doesn't. We're going on. I say I don't care. I do care. But what I'm saying is it's not going to matter in the long run. If that's the way she has to go, if that's the way I have to go, if that's the way you have to go, we're going to go. We're
going
to go.
We're going.
But I believe that He's soon to come back.
Amen.
I'm going to quit. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You so much for the precious brothers that serve You all around this globe, Lord, that are not afraid to tell the truth. Our precious brother, he's taking a little rest, Lord. He's under pressure that people, nobody even knows about. Things, he carries a load, Lord. You put the weight of the word on him and he delivers it faithfully, Lord. And I just thank You for the blessing that You've given us and the gifts You've given us around the world. Not just Brother Donnie, but all of us, Lord, that are preaching the gospel. All the different gifts and different levels of gifts, Lord. You're so good to us. You love us so much and You show us Your love so much. Lord, I want to just thank You for Your word and what You've done for us. The way You speak to us, the way You lay it out there to where we can, You can reveal Yourself to us in a way to where we can see You. It's just so wonderful, Lord, the way that You do that and the way You rescued us and brought us out. We were in bondage just like these folks were, Lord. And there are those among us who have victory, and there are those among us who are working their way towards it, Lord, by Your leading. And it's wonderful to see, Lord. But we know there's going to be a fast work in these last days. And Lord, I just hope that You'll take this word and prosper it, Lord. I know You won't let it return void. But Lord, I'm just counting on You to let Your word do its work. We love You, Father, with all of our heart. And we know that we can come to You. We know that we can come and pour ourselves out at Your altar. We know that we can do all these things, Lord. But to walk daily, that's the beauty. That's the thing. To stick with it through thick and thin. To have joy in times of sorrow and chastisement, in troubles and trials. Lord, You may make it hard on our flesh. You know, you spoke of Esau here. It's such a strange mystery that you spoke of Esau. It's like you're saying, look, horrible things are going to happen to your flesh. Bad things will happen to your flesh. But that soul, that flesh is going to be changed, but that soul, that's mine. And that's my favorite, and I love you. Lord, don't hold back. Give us whatever we need. Don't hold back, Lord. You know that we want it. We know that we want to see you revealed, and we want to see your truth. So don't hold back, Father. No matter how much we cry, no matter how much we squeal, Lord, just don't hold back. Give it all to us. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand.
Praise the Lord.
Stand.
Good preach. Hallelujah.
That message Brother Joe gave the other night was so beautiful.
Amen.
It was so beautiful. It inspired me so much. It helped me so much.
Yeah.
That's what the Word can do for you when you come in here with an open heart.
Amen.
You come in and say, Lord, I'm here to hear from you.
Right.
And it spoke to me, brother. It helped me.
Amen.
We cannot forget what the Lord has done for us. God bless you, Brother Harry, if you want to sing.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he go with him.
Heal my wounded, broken.
Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and obey. As I look in the dark, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything gonna be alright. Lord, I face another battle. It's out in front of me. And I'm afraid to be able, and I'll go down in defeat. Said I walked on the water. I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you and see how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you?
Yes, you did.
So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Said I walked on the water. I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to your wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low that says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And I walked on the water. I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Just to die for your sin. I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. He said, do you remember
child, where I brought you from. Just take a look behind you and see how far you've come. And every time you ask me, haven't I delivered you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through? But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Well, I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me. He turned on my night to day. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Well, I was alone in the darkness, and I could not find my way.
That's the truth.
Jesus shined the light on me, and then he turned on my night today. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. When I reach that city, oh, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story, how he brought me to the other side. Yes, when I reach that city, and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story, how he brought me from the other side. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, but my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, but my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
How many was in the darkness?
Well, I was alone in the darkness, and I could not find my way. Jesus shined this light on me, and he turned on my nights today. Saved by grace.
saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins, they're washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, and every battle that I fought made for memory, I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that stands in front of me.
Let's take a course.
So that I'm standing, stands in front of me. Every battle that I fought will fade from me. Heartaches and frustration, I kept my focus on the cross. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, then I won't be of you. And so I'll proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will be from Him. Stands in front of me. It's not been easy. The times I've lost my way. So often I have stumbled, searching for the light of day. I thought I'd surely fall when the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all. But He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll get the chance to thank Him face to face. Stands in front of me. Every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. child of God that day will look upon His face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan soil will all stand together and declare, Jesus is Lord. And the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. Every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. The reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Be multiplied. Multiplied in F. Let's sing this together as we go this evening.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to Your design. May this offering reach across the sky and these hallelujahs be more. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to Your design. May this